Are you set apart or are you set aside? Are you set apart for the work of God or are you set aside by some circumstance? It could be a theological difference. It could be a doctrinal issue. It could be something that's happened in your life. But there's questions that I really want to ask today and get at this a little bit. And that, are you set apart? Do you believe you're set apart for God? Or do you believe that maybe currently you're set aside? And I want to explore that a little bit. If you would go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1:2. First of all, know that you were called. And this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 2. To the church of God, this is Paul the apostle writing, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every place, call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, or called to be holy people, depending on the translation you may be looking at. But the Bible is saying that we are called of God. And the word sanctified here just simply means that we are set apart. It means that God himself has set us apart. And that word there just simply means that no longer are you for common use or for the common good, but you are set apart to walk with a desire before God and set apart for his holy service. Now, when I first became a Christian, if somebody would have, first of all, the word sanctification or sanctified was not in my vocabulary. The word justified was not in my vocabulary. The word redeemed, the word adoption or election, glorification, these were words that just simply were not, at least in my vocabulary, I didn't know what they meant. So somebody had to kind of make sure that I understood what they meant. But to call to be set apart from God, I thought then I'm going to have to become a monk and wear a robe and have my arms in these big sleeves and walk around with a big cross on a rope. And I would just walk around and I would just have to be set apart. I'm set apart. I'm now going to get into a life of ministry. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart and said, that's not what I'm calling you to be. That's not my definition of you set apart. Set apart is in your heart. Are you agreeing with what God has already said about you? It's not trying to manufacture something. It's not even trying to manufacture or create a doctrine. Are you willing to believe that what God has said about you is true? So let me simply begin by saying, if you know what Jesus said, you'll begin to believe what he said. If you know what he said, you begin to believe what he said. If you believe what he said, you begin to accept what he did. And if you accept what he did, you begin to know who he is. And if you know who he is, you'll want to become his disciple. So teaching is to instruct, to exhort the body of Christ, to maybe even provide some correction where maybe we're thinking about some things in a different way, but put us in line, put us in the right line so that God can illuminate our understanding, can speak into our hearts, confirm what he's already told us about what he's done for us, and so that we can begin this walk with Christ. We can actually be called a saint of God. Saint, that's often used in the New Testament, means to be set apart. So when Paul says that you are sanctified and saints by calling, we begin to ask the question, what does that mean? What does that mean for you? What does that mean specifically for you in your life? So I want to ask you just a series of questions and that we want to answer. Do you know you're called? Do you know what you're called to? And by the way, I'll give a hint. Calling doesn't necessarily mean that you're going into ministry. Right. Ministry is defined in a whole different ways. You're calling before the Lord. Are you set apart in your heart before the Lord? Do you know what that is? Are you engaged in the call that God has on your life? Are you ignoring the call that God has on your life? Are you perhaps following a call that God has not put on your life? Are you trying to be somebody that you're not? Are you trying to move in a different area or a different gift that God hasn't given you? That becomes friction. That becomes hard. Amen. And so the purpose of today is just to bring it back to a level set where we can understand what the Bible is saying about our walk before the Lord. Are we set apart, and what does that mean? Or have you, by some action of your own, maybe it's something you did before the Lord that you knew wasn't right, and you went ahead and did it. And now, as a result of that, there's this, maybe this sense of condemnation, and you have put yourself aside. So God has not set you aside. Because of your own action, you may have set yourself aside. So again, I want to ask the question, do you feel today in your heart, are you set apart for God's work, or are you set aside? Do you feel like maybe you're on the sidelines, just watching? Or are you truly set apart and engaged in what God is having you do? Not too long ago, I had something come up. I was off during the week, and it was a Friday, and I was just trying to take care of some personal things, and I was going to go visit Pastor Carter and chat with him, and I'm in my pickup truck, and I'm just driving down a road, and I see this big detour sign. I went, oh, great. So I just kind of whirve around to miss the detour sign, and I fall into a big pothole, major pothole. And it just jolted my tire and shook the steering wheel and everything. It's just like one of these bone-jarring things in your car. And I go, oh, Lord, what has happened? So all of a sudden, my tire light comes on my dashboard. And so I have to text Pastor Carter and say, I can't be there at 11 o'clock or whatever it was. I've got to go by the dealership and have this checked out. And so right around the corner was the dealership. And he texts me back. He said, always be aware of what God might be doing. And I'm going, oh, it's Friday. I want to be off. So the Lord was saying, are you setting yourself aside, or are you willing to be set apart? So he says, always be sensitive to what God is doing right now. It just happened to fall into a pothole. But again, I didn't want to over-spiritualize it either. So I go around to the dealership, and I go in. I say, I just hit a pothole. My tire light came on. Can you check it out? So I just go into the waiting room, and I sit down. And lo and behold, there's just me and one other guy. This is a Friday morning. I know it's got to be busier than this. So my first reaction was, yes, there's nobody here. My second reaction is, okay, God's going to put me in some interaction with somebody. So I'm sitting there. I'm on my phone. I'm checking information out or whatever I'm doing. And this conversation is taking place with this other young man, probably mid-30s. And since it's the waiting room and it's just me and him, I can hear his conversation. And it didn't take too long to figure out that he was in a conversation that he probably shouldn't have been in. And he was making plans for something that he shouldn't be doing. He was going to rendezvous it with somebody that he had no business rendezvousing with, if I can say it that way. And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, is this why you brought me here? You know how people like to have their own space. They don't want anybody coming into their space. I know that. And I'm going, oh, I just want my tire fixed. But I'm hearing the conversation, and I know the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know when God is wanting me to say something. My heart's kind of racing, and I get sweaty a little bit. And I'm going, oh, God, are you wanting me to do this? And sure enough, he hangs the phone up, and he's doing this with his wedding band. I'm going, here goes. Well, he sees me looking at him. He knows I heard this conversation. I have said nothing. I'm just drinking my coffee, waiting for the service manager, but I'm listening to this, and I'm just trying to hear the Holy Spirit. And, of course, he looks at me with fire, and he goes, is there a problem? This is him asking me. And I just said, you know, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not, actually. It sounds like you have a problem. I said, you're about to go in a direction that you don't want to go in. Well, I know you want to go in that direction, but you really don't. You're about to go down a path that will bring tremendous heartache to you. And he's looking at me like, why are you involved in my life? Why are you saying this to me? And I said, look, I'm just here getting my tire fixed. And I heard you say when you walked in that all of a sudden your engine light just came on. So you're here getting your car checked out. And I believe that maybe God has intersected our paths. I'm a man just like you are, and I hear your conversation. I see you're married. Don't do this. Don't go in this direction. Do you have a Bible? And he said, well, I have, you know, I'm Catholic. I said, no, that wasn't the question. Do you have a Bible? And he said he did, so I gave him a couple scriptures just to go home and read. Now, I don't know what happened to this individual. I told him about our church out in North Jersey to come along on Sunday mornings and bring his family. Whether he came, I don't know. I didn't get his name or his number. I told him who I was and where I was. But God, right after that was finished, the guy comes in and tells me that your car's ready and there's nothing wrong with your tire. I'm going, of course there's not. I know there's nothing wrong with my tire. I know that I'm here at this point in time. So the issue was the Lord is saying, Jerry, are you willing to be set apart right now? Even though you're going to go do something else and you're having a meeting with the senior pastor of the church, but this is what I'm having you do right now. Are you willing? I could have said no. I could have put myself on the side. But I think that, you know, maybe somebody waters, somebody plants, somebody brings sunshine to something. There was an impact in this young man's life. And my prayer all during the day was that he didn't go where he was supposed to go. But even if he did, I think the conviction of the Lord or the knowledge of that God was in his life and was speaking to him. So I really believe that as we seek to know God's will, God will put you in circumstances. So part of the calling is that are you willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to be sensitive to the leading of God, to do what God is calling you to do? God says we're set apart. Do you want to know God's divine will for your life? You want to know God's will? Divine will for your life. How many times have you prayed, Lord, if you just speak to me, I'll go do it. If you just tell me, I'll go do it. Who wants to actually know God's divine will? Turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to talk about this. Romans, the 12th chapter, just back a few pages from 1 Corinthians 1. Just go back to just a few chapters right to the left of Corinthians into Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. In light of this, read this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Some translations say, be not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Who wants good and acceptable and perfect will of God in their life? Do you want that? If you want that, the only way you're going to be able to get that is by the renewing, because Paul is laying it out here for us. We need to be renewed in our mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, not following the pattern that's already been laid out there. So to be conformed means to take something that's already in existence. The pattern of this world, to be conformed to the pattern of this world is mean it's already a form. It's like a cake pan. It's already formed. We know what the design of it is. And you're just simply conforming to that. You're being poured into that. That is the world system. That is a thought process that says, I can self-reason. I am self-governed. I'm independent. I can figure this out. I have my own strength. Maybe you're an alpha type person. You're a leader. And you say, I know how to do this. Irregardless, to be conformed to this world means that you're willing to go down a path that we've already been down. And when you try to do things on your own, you know what the result is. I know what the result is if I've tried to do things in my own strength, under my own power, my own reasoning, my own thought process of, wow, this must be God. This must be God. Or this is how I justify my own actions. I know how to do that. We are a manipulative people. We are a people that knows how to try to get our way. We can reason through. God wants me to go into this bar to witness to drunks. No, he doesn't want you to go there. You want to go there. We have a way and a tendency to try to lean to the right and say, this is how I think I can do it. This is how I can move in the will of God. And all of a sudden, people take on this kind of, this is my calling. This is my calling. I'm supposed to do this. No, what we want to explore is how do you know what the divine will of God is for your life and determine what your calling is. And step one is it's not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Titus 3:5 says it's the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. It's the renewing of the Word of God into your heart. So the renewal just simply means that it's made new. It's to renovate. You ever remodel something, remodeled your kitchen or tried to put something new in? It's to make new. It's to do over. Now, that doesn't mean it's a lobotomy. God is not just going to erase everything out of your mind and you walk around like a robot and just say, okay, I'm just following the will of God. He's not going to hit the rewind button and erase everything that's happened. But in your heart, in your born-again spirit, he is going to create something new, something fresh, something that's regenerated, something that's rejuvenated, something that is new, and even smells new. It's no longer a stench. You are made new in the sight of God. And when you're made new in the sight of God, you begin to hear his voice. When I first got saved, I'll never forget this. It was amazing to me. I'd never heard God's voice before. But I got saved, and I get on an airplane. I'm flying overseas to meet my parents for Christmas, and I'm just doing what I had known to do. I smoked, I drank, I had long hair, and I'm on the airplane talking to, and then somebody gave me the New Testament. And this was 3 days after I got saved. They said, just read the New Testament. So I'm reading the New Testament. I'm reading the book of John on an airplane, smoking and drinking a beer. And I'm going, wow, look at this. This is awesome. This is really awesome. They're the guy next to me, you ought to read this. Have you ever read the Bible? I can't imagine what was going through his mind. Who is this guy with long hair, smoking and drinking a beer, telling me I should be reading the Bible? It was during that trip the Lord said, I want you to put that down. And I'm going, well, I have to be like them. I have to be like my fraternity brothers when I come back to school. I need to be able to go back in and convert them to Christianity. The Lord says, I am not letting you go there. And God will say the same thing to you. If you are wanting to walk with God in the pureness of what the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart, which is new, you have become born again. And God has a plan for your life. God has a calling that he wants to put on your life. And that calling may be to visit people in a dealership. It may be to move and maneuver or detour out of your way in a certain day, to have a divine appointment, a divine intersection with somebody. It may be in your family. It could be in your job or your community. God wants you to be a light in this world. That's the calling of God. The calling of God is not to find out what ministry you belong in. The calling of God is to know what the heart of God is. What is the heart of God for you? What is his heart for you? It's to cleanse you. It's to make you new. It's to walk with you. It's to set you in the grace that he has already set aside for you. But I'm not qualified. Newsflash. You'll never be qualified. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He simply will give you what's needed to walk with him. Well, I have this degree. I have this experience in business. I have this background. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. If you would, go back to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Just go back to the right a few pages where you were in the first chapter and look with me at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. I think we all fit into that one. Praise God. If not, hopefully you will before this is over. and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things are not so that he may nullify the things that are. You think you're somebody? I mean, is there something in your heart that God is wanting to get at that says, I can do this. I can figure this out. I was told by my parents that I can do anything as long as I put my mind to it. Boy. Patrick Carter taught us one day, he said, anybody ever, if you want to sit in a room and have a, let's brainstorm about this. Let's brainstorm about this new idea. He said, all you walk out with is a storm in the brain. It was great. So if your heart is saying you can do anything you put your mind to, first of all, is it a renewed mind or is it a mind that's been conformed to the pattern of this world? Or has it been transformed by the Word of God? If you're truly being transformed by the Word of God, chances are you won't have that thought or the Holy Spirit will put it in check very quickly. Praise God. 28, and the base things of the world and despise God has chosen the things are not so that he may nullify the things that are so that no man can boast before God. So you don't have to say I'm not qualified and you don't have to be tempted to say I'm qualified to be this. I'm qualified to do what God has called me to do. We really aren't. As I said before, you can ignore the calling. You can be like Jonah. You can ignore it. God will still, if your heart is right, he'll still put you where you're supposed to be. God wants you that way. If you know what God's divine will is, are you willing to be transformed? Now, that's a process. And so what I want to do is just simply level set a little bit about what this process is. And I've heard terms over the years, whether it's been in counseling here at the church or talking with brethren here at the church, whether it's men's meeting or in ministry over the years, I've heard different ways that things are said. And it just caused me to think about this when I was preparing for this. And some of the question is, God got it wrong with me. I'm actually supposed to be over here. God got it wrong. Okay. We'll explore that. I can't wait to let them know and when their understanding is enlightened. I'm not sanctified enough. That goes along with I'm not qualified. The enemy took my calling. I'm not holy enough. I guess newsflash number two, you never will be. We're sanctified by the Word of God and truth. This is what God has called us to. So to just to level set a little bit, I'd like to talk about just, you know, some of the words that people get hung up with. That's like justification, it's redemption, it's sanctification. I want to talk about this because when we get through this and we'll spend just a few minutes on it, it makes a lot more sense than we say, what is our calling? If we can get through, so I want to level set and make sure that your thinking and your understanding is in line with the Word of God so that when you read Romans 12:2, you'll know what it's like to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Justification simply means that we are made right, we are made righteous with God, and we are declared not guilty. It is a free gift. You cannot earn justification. You cannot walk through and say, I'm doing enough to be justified. So when somebody says, I lost my justification, well, you never had it. God justifies you. It is the free gift of salvation, not by works, lest any man should boast. For grace you have been saved. So just to be justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Some of you may have walked in here today and thought something that you shouldn't have thought or did something you shouldn't have done. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. There's something in your heart that God can say, I want to bring you forgiveness right now. When God justifies, when God places salvation in your life, it's instant. Those of you who got saved, the moment you ask Christ Jesus into your heart, were you not saved? Saved. It's not a doctrine that says, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to justify everything so that when I ultimately get to heaven, I'll receive my justification. No, that's your glorification. Justification happens when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And I'm encouraging those who have thought otherwise, If you will know what he said, you'll begin to believe what he said. And if you believe that, you begin to accept what he did and you'll know who he is. You are justified before God. You are made righteous in God's sight because of who Jesus is, because of what Christ did. It's received by faith and it's given to you by grace, unmerited favor. It's given to you because of what Christ did on the cross. That's pure justification. Justification is free from the dominion of darkness. It's free from the power of sin, and you have become a willing servant of God. That's your new nature. You haven't entered into the process yet. You just got saved. So I'm just talking about in terms of pure salvation. So when you come to Christ, your salvation is right then. Because if it's not, how then do you explain to somebody who may be on their deathbed, they're about to pass away, they get saved, and they're at that moment into eternity when they pass away. That's why Christ said on the cross, this day will you be with me in paradise. They haven't walked with God. These were two men crucified on either side of him. But salvation, when it comes instantaneous. It's that moment of rebirth. It's that moment of salvation where something happens in your heart and now you have been given eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't add anything to it. You can't create it. You can't take away from it. When you come before God and say, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I ask the life of Jesus Christ cover me, and I confess him as Lord and Savior, you are saved. Oh, God. So you don't have to go back there. For once Christ died for the ungodly. He doesn't have to keep repeating his death. His death is eternal. It just keeps refreshing over and over and over and over. For if we do commit sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Christ the Lord. We can go through this life. You may commit wrong. You may have something wrong. You may blunder. You may fall. You may make a mistake. It doesn't mean you're done. It means that you simply get back up and say, God, forgive me. That's the process that we're in. That's the process that Jesus wants us to get into. Somebody says, well, I've mishandled my redemption. Christ redeemed you. Redemption is simply the payment of ransom for a price. There was a ransom for us. To be redeemed means that Jesus Christ himself, through his life on the, his death on the cross and what he did before God, was to redeem me so that I could be justified before God. Are you following me? He just simply, redemption is the payment of a ransom. To be redeemed means I've been redeemed. I have been paid for. I've been bought with a price so that I can stand before God justified, just as if I'd never sinned. So you haven't lost, you haven't mishandled the redemption. That's Christ's redemption. Walk through this process. And as you walk through it, if you make a mistake, get back up and keep going. Folks, I'm telling you, when somebody says, the devil stole my calling, well, take it back. Let's go back into the devil's camp and take it back. There's a song we sing, take it back. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance and they're with you forever. Praise God. I hope you get this, because if you understand that you have a new life, a new nature, and a new freedom, when you become a born-again Christian, all things are made new. Behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. If God be for you, who can be against you? Praise God. There's no demon from hell, no lie of the enemy that can keep the love of God from you. You are justified in Christ. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we read in 1 Corinthians 1:2, you are now being sanctified by Christ. So I'm justified before God. Now I'm in this sanctification process. I'm in the process. I am now walking as Romans 12:2. I don't want to be conformed, but I want to be transformed. That is a process that I'm walking through. That comes through prayer. That comes through reading the word. It comes by sitting in church. It comes from sitting under teaching. It comes from fellowship. It comes from being instructed and corrected. It means humbly carrying yourself before the Lord. If you will humble yourself and pray, he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive your sin, and he will heal your land. He will heal your life. He will heal your family. He will heal your finances, your health. He will heal your land, that which is yours. God is saying, I will hear from heaven, and I will hear. I will heal. I will forgive, and I will heal. How many want that? Oh, praise God. If you want that, then you will truly be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the step. You're now being renewed by the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So when we leave here, there's a couple of scriptures I want you to remember. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Go to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, that's not you. That's somebody who's already been through. Now they're in the arena. Since you have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the process. So when you're justified in Christ because of his redemptive power, you're now standing holy before Christ. It's like your ticket into the arena. Before, you're just standing out. Now you've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You've been brought into the presence of God. Now you can get in the race. Before, we couldn't even get in the race. Are you following me? We were in the dominion of darkness. But when we come into God through his salvation, through what Jesus Christ and Christ alone did for us, we are now in the race. We could be on the starting block. Folks, that is the process you're in. And it is not a spectator sport. Sanctification is not a spectator sport. You are in the arena. You are in the race. You're running the race. And what the writer of Hebrews is now saying in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. For consider him who has endured such hostility against sinners himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm not looking for a show of hands, but I think there's some in here today that have grown weary. Maybe you've lost heart because of your circumstances. Maybe it's because something you did. Something said to you. Some discouragement that's come in that you haven't allowed God to set you free from it. Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross so that you could get in the race. You're no longer outside watching. You can come in. Don't try to be up in the witness stand right now where the witness is watching. You are in the race. Do you want to run the race? Do you want to run? God said, I want you to run with endurance. I want you to make it. I want you to make it through. Pastor Carter says his prayer is that we all get there to the end and we shout hallelujah right here on the corner of 51st and Broadway and said, he did it. Christ did it. I'm here. I made it through. I made it through. We may pull somebody along with us. Pull me if I'm dragging. Pull me. We want to pull each other. We want to make it through this. We're in this race together. Praise God. But at least we are in the race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I'm walking in regeneration, it begins to redefine for me what ministry is all about. Ministry is pouring yourself out for the benefit of others. And are you willing to go to the Toyota dealership? Are you willing to be sensitive just to the leading of the Holy Spirit, even as uncomfortable as it may be? Are you willing to repent of a certain issue in your life, as uncomfortable as that may be? Are you willing to say, I'm sorry to somebody that you may have offended, as uncomfortable as that may be? Walking into the light sometimes is not easy, but boy, it sure is refreshing. When you walk into the light, praise God, the demons have to flee when that occurs. They have to, folks. They have to. They have to. Darkness cannot overcome light. We used to live in Southeast Texas, and cockroaches was a big issue for us down there. My wife will tell you, Whenever you'd walk into the kitchen to flip open the switch, light comes on, man, they run for cover. And I'm a fairly new Christian at that point. I said, that's just like the devil. That's just like demons. When you turn the light on, they just run for cover. They're still there, but they want to stay in darkness. They hate the light. But when you come into the light, it is a weapon of righteousness. When you step into the light, God says, now I can move through him. Now I can move through her. Now I'm in this transformation process with him or her. I can take them through this. I can renew their mind. When you're simply willing to step into the light and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me overcome this. Help me work through this issue in my life. Praise God. My last thought is, it's all because of Christ. All because of him. Pastor Carter encouraged us this morning that the only way that we can do this is through prayer. Pastor Will referenced that Pastor Carter was in Washington last week and he was talking to other pastors and leaders there about prayer, the importance of prayer. And I want to refer you to the prayer of Jesus himself, John the 17th chapter. If you'll go there, chapter 17 of the book of John. 17:17. This is Jesus talking to the Father. This is a prayer that he is having now. Many of your Bibles, it's red letters. So this is the words of Christ. John 17:17. It says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. There's your calling. Christ has sent you into the world because he sanctified himself. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Our calling is to walk in the world under the banner of truth, under the banner of righteousness, because of everything that Jesus Christ did for us. There's nothing we can do to add to it. We can't create it. We can't manufacture it. We can't ignore it. It is what God and God alone has done. And if we're willing to walk under that, miracles begin to happen. The beginning of the supernatural is the admission of failure. And that failure is just simply, God, I can't do it in my own strength. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, the independent thinking, the self-reasoning. Step in and be willing to have your mind renewed. That means everything about your life is now being shaped by the Word of God. Because you have a new life, you have a new hope, a new nature, and a new freedom. That's what this is about. That's why you can know your calling. That's how you can know and prove and test what the perfect, divine, and pleasing will of God is for your life. Amen. Amen. That's how God will do that for you. Praise the Lord. It's because of what Christ did and Christ did alone. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. So there's the word again. It says, I set myself apart. I consecrate myself for them. Folks, he did it for us. He did it for us. I set myself apart. He was willing to put himself through his life and get up on a cross, give his life for us so that he could send us into the world under the banner of truth. That's the calling. If you're willing to look at your calling through the lens of what Christ himself did for you, through the word of truth, then God will begin to speak to you more about your ministry, more about specifics in your life and things that he wants you to do. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, but you have to look at them through the lens of truth. You have to look at them through the lens and the filter of a new life, new freedom, a new nature, new hope, renewed, regenerated, remodeled. Oh God, help us. Help us. Can God still use me? Or have you made the statement, God can't use me? That's the question I think God wants to put in your heart. Are you questioning? Say, God, can you still use me? It's never been too late to be what you might have been. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Think about that for you older ones like me. It's never too late to be what you might have been. What had God called you to? You're still breathing. You're still here. You're listening to these words. It's never too late. Praise God. God can't use me. The devil's a liar. If that's the thought in your heart, as I said, the devil's taken my calling, take it back. The truth is what he spoke over your life. The day, the moment you got saved, that's the truth that he spoke into your life and said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll take you through. I'll finish what I started. Praise God. He will finish what he started in you. It doesn't matter what your boss says. It doesn't matter what your coworkers say. It doesn't matter what the devil says. He is a liar and the father of lies. It matters what Jesus says. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like to do an altar call. It's very simple. Some of you just simply need to be renewed in your mind. You need a season of refreshing to come on. That God will say, I love you. I've forgiven you. You don't have to work out your justification. It's already done. You don't have to work out your redemption. I did that for you. You don't have to figure out your calling. I'm the one who called you. I want to renew your heart. I want to renew. I want to renovate. I want to remodel. I want to make new. I want to bring that refreshing into your heart. If that's you, we just simply like to pray for you. As our worship band is here, we'll just worship for a few minutes. You'd like to come, I'd love to pray for you. I've been through this. I've walked through this. And I've been with all those five people. I've been the wanderer. I've been wondering what's happening or where am I? Where am I going? What are you doing in my life? Been through the frustration. I've been to this altar. Come and let us pray. Just come and worship. I know God has given us a promise. There will be a refreshment that comes into your heart, perhaps that you've never known before. A renewal of God says, I love you and I want to walk with you. Praise God. Have the courage to come and just stand before the Lord and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me to know what this is. Praise God. Would you come? Folks, there's a spiritual wave coming over your heart right now. I really believe that. I really believe that. I believe this word was for those of you who have come, maybe some that didn't step out today. That's okay. Let God right now speak into your heart. Let him right now, at this moment, refresh your heart. Encourage your heart where he says, I have you. Will you pray with me? Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for every person that's come here today, every brother and sister. God, I ask for those who need salvation right now, would call upon the name of the Lord. Would call upon your name. You said, whoever so call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, let them in their heart right now confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior who gave himself for my sins. I repent for my sins. I ask Jesus into my heart and I ask for eternal life in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who are already justified, God, they're standing in your presence. I ask now for, Lord, this cool wave of your presence to come upon my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in every heart right now, every thought. Lord, just move against the lies of the enemy. Move against the discouragement, the discontent that the enemy's tried to place on the lives of my brothers and sisters. I'm asking in Jesus' name to renew and refresh and let hearts be recommitted to you, God. To call out on the name of the Lord for what, God, what do you want in my life? What are you doing in my life? What is it that I need to do right now? Oh God, let them know that it's not a spectator sport. They're in the race with you, Lord Jesus. And God, we're asking now, just call on the Lord. Just say, God, right now, just touch me. Lord, touch me. Touch me. As Pastor Carter said this morning, sometimes the best prayers is, oh, God, help me. 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 However you want to say it, just call out on God to say, God, I need you now. I need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Let the Holy Spirit move right now. Let him touch your heart. Praise God. God bless you.